Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord. They shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. That is a scary place to be, Christian. God says, if you turn your back on me, I will allow you to go into the pits, just like the prodigal son. And if you don't turn back at that time, I'll even allow your flesh to be killed for the salvation of your soul, because you once belonged to me. And I told you, look at the story of Saul, especially the point at the when he visits the witch of Endor. Everlasting life, everlasting salvation. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you said in church. It's about the heart. Even when Saul had declared war on God, occasionally the spirit man would gain control of the mind of Saul and he would repent. Just like you, Christian, when you're out doing things you know you shouldn't. And the little voice in your head, I know this isn't right. Mm-hmm. I know I shouldn't do this. Oh gosh, I just got to do it though.
And you know? The voice, the feeling in the body. Like, yeah. To me, whenever I would do stuff, is like I would get like the jelly leg.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I felt that.
The body's just like, no.
Yes. And then there's an argument inside. Yeah. And, you know, depending on how much fried chicken you had that day, the flesh will win out or the spirit will win out. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Ah, what did he say when he brought him into the promised land? Clean the land of all of the inhabitants, because they are mixed with the seed of the serpent. Some more than others, some completely seed of the serpent. Visit episode 1 on WBFFradio.com and you'll understand that. There were two children in Eve's womb with two different fathers. I hear them gathering outside with pitchforks. Jonathan, go answer the door. Now shall a mouth devour them with their portions. Blow ye the cornet in Gilba, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven, after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore, the landmark. Remember all those landmarks they put up when they first came in? Well, when civil war broke out, different tribes started taking land from other tribes. God said, no, these will always belong to each of the tribes. Even through marriages, they cannot be given to other tribes. You're breaking all of my rules, even the little ones. I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is opposed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. A destroyer, moths destroy fabric. When Ephraim saw his sickness, there it is, there's the story right there. Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound. Then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound? No. There's a God in Israel and they forgot who he is. All the miracles, all the wonderful things he'd done turned the place into a budding paradise for them. America was a budding paradise. This book actually says, America's in this book many places. One of the end time prophecies of America says, you were a golden cup in my hand. Now you're a cup full of abominations and the blood of martyrs. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. There's a lot to be said in number 14. If you understand between the lines, you look at all the words. An old lion will kill. A young lion will harass an older lion, okay? Judah is known as the lion. For I will be under Ephraim as a lion. I'm going to wipe Ephraim out. And as a young lion to the house of Judah, I'm going to harass the house of Judah, because I made a promise to David that someone will always sit on the throne from his family, and it goes all the way to Christ and his return, an everlasting kingdom. He cannot destroy the house of Judah. No matter how bad they get, God made a promise. His promises are eternal. Even when Moses has to talk him out of breaking one, they're eternal. Several times. Oh, God, you remember that promise? Oh, why do you always throw that up to me? Yes, I made the promise. Mm-hmm. You're right. I'm not going to wipe them out. I will tear and go away. There it is with Judah. Tear and then go away. I will take away and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place. Wow. Till they acknowledge their offenses and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. God says, I've turned my back on them. From 70 AD until 1947, Israel was scattered throughout the world. God turned his back on them. And that's not long after, right here. But chapter 6 tells another story. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. 1947. Now look at this. We're going to go back to 33 AD in the second verse. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. What does that mean? 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. That's just, there's so much in that verse. And it doesn't mean the nation of Israel in 1947, in 2 days he'll create a nation. No, that was done by a signature on a paper. In a treaty, I think 1913. Mm-hmm. And then it finally came to pass in 1947. When Christ died, he went to hell. And he took the keys of the power of Satan. And he spent the first 2 days preaching to those in paradise. That's your 2 days. After 2 days, he preached to those of the Messiah. Same thing he preached on earth for 3 years. The Jews didn't get it at all. But these will. Well, most of them will. We don't know how many chose, because it was still a choice to be made. You know, paradise was the good side of hell. And then there was the hell side of hell.
Sure.
Satan had control of all of it. They were all prisoners there. For 2 days, Christ preached to those in paradise of the salvation of God through his sacrifice. In the third day, he will raise us up. We shall live in his sight. A whole lot of them accepted him. There were over 500 sightings of dead people in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. When Christ arose, the whole place burst forth. Some were allowed to walk the streets for a short time before going on to God's kingdom. And that's what it says, the last line there. And we shall live in his sight. Between the lines, you got to look at every word. You got to understand every sentence. You got to read it over. I've read this 75 times before I figured it out. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. We will know abundance then. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? Question mark. O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? Question mark. God's asking a question. For your goodness is in the morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. A lot of history of these former books there. Therefore I have hewed them. Cut them down by the prophets. You remember when God lined up his angels? He says, I need someone to go tell a falsehood, a lie, to the prophets of Israel, the 100 prophets of Israel that Jezebel hadn't killed. And one of the angels says, I'll do it, sire. You didn't know God worked like that, did you? God is in control of everything, good, bad, or indifferent. He sent an angel to tell a falsehood to the prophets of Israel because they did not have any communications with him. And they would believe anything that came out of these men's mouths because no one there had a connection to God. Follow me with all your heart. Otherwise, look to religion for salvation. Religion's not going to give you any salvation. Religion's going to end you into the pits of hell. I've slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Look, mm-hmm. look. Mm-hmm. Verse 6 of Hosea chapter 6 trumps the law right there. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I want a personal relationship with you. I put the law on you as a curse, and you just gobbled it up and turned it into a religious thing that you just kind of halfway like to do. And if you could keep some of the statutes in front of your neighbors, they would think you were holy. And it turned into a big show. God says, I didn't get what I wanted out of the curse of the law that I put on you. I thought you would just come crying back to me, Lord. Please let us just follow you with all of our heart, because some learned that. David learned that. If you follow God with all your heart, the law has been trumped. It doesn't matter. And Christian, if you're following Jesus Christ and you want to hold on to portions of the law, you're telling Christ what he done just wasn't good enough. What does that say in verse 6? I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Follow me with all your heart. Don't worry about keeping Sunday holy. It's not the Sabbath anyway, hypocrite. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for men, oh, look at this verse here. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. A priest, a preacher, a pastor who's not doing his job, God is equating to a murderer and a robber. You put on that mantle, you better do God's word and his work. Phineas, catch the earlier episodes, find out who Phineas was, the most, the most infamous priest of the Levitical line. He's the one that set up the brothel next to God's tabernacle.
Very liberal.
Yes. You know, they used to bring the animal there for sacrifice. The priest would put his hand on its head, and that represented transference of sin. And then they would kill it. God got the first portions and all the fat. Well, Phineas come up with another plan. Go ahead and cut the animal up before you bring it. That was too much work. Yes. And I've made this fancy hook here. It's got three prongs on it. You go ahead and cut the animal up, and you know, like little, not like the shoulder and the loin, like God said to do it. Cut it up in maybe 1.5 pound pieces. And bring it in a bucket.
Yeah, weigh it out not exact.
Yes, yes. And I'm going to thrust in this hook here, and whatever comes up, I get to keep for myself. I know God, once upon a time, he said he gets the first and the best. Mm-hmm. But
and all the fat.
I really like them shoulder cuts. And I had my father never got any shoulder cuts, but this new system we got going here, we're eating good. Look, I'm weighing in at 260 pounds now.
We stamped a menorah right on the side of the hook.
Yes, that makes it holy. Yes, him and his father Eli, fat. What did I tell you about food? The gateway drug to all lasciviousness. That's a word, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I thought it was. It just came out.
Great context. You're right in the pocket.
There. Appreciate that. Watch everything, Christian, especially food. Excess will put the spirit man to sleep. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. And poor Ephraim really, really went off the rails because Hosea is just riling against him. Also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee. Ah, when I returned the captivity of my people. Chapter 7, with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. You know, if you take anything away from Hosea today, God always desired obedience and reverence. The law was a method to teach a stubborn people that religion is no good for anyone. It was a curse put on them, and only one man was able to fulfill it. And if you read this book earnestly, you'll see that Christ, according to Leviticus, even broke the law. He worked on the Sabbath. They accused him of it over and over again. But Christ's heart followed his father 110%. And this book, if it says anything, it says a heart that follows God trumps the law. We see that time and time again through the pages of the Old Testament. Someone, an outsider traveling from afar off, comes to Israel and has a relationship with the God of Israel. How is that possible? Because God is the God of everyone. Mm-hmm. He had covenants with all the people in the lands at one time. Like he told the children of Israel, go to Egypt. These people that live in Canaan right now, they're trespassing against me. How can you trespass against a God that you don't know? They knew him. They had covenants with him. He was working with them. He said, they haven't trespassed enough yet. I'm going to work with them some more, but I know they will. And when that time comes, I'll bring you out of Egypt and I'll bring you there. And I'll start again. And lo and behold, what did they do? Same thing, Jonathan.
If not worse.
They're not any better than those who lived in Canaan before them. But God had a plan. If you go back to episode 1, the two children in the womb of Eve, when Adam fell from grace, he made the plan to bring the Messiah into the world. Some 6,500 years later, he had to keep a pure line. Two children in the womb, two different fathers, seed of the serpent, seed of Adam. He had to have one pure line. And you see it right in front of the flood. Noah, whose generations were perfect. What does that mean? He had not been mixed with the seed of the serpent. God preserved that family. Oh, well, how did the seed of the serpent make it past the flood? You have to read other books to find that out. And you have to read right there in front of the flood in Genesis. God says, I wipe out all flesh that I put the spirit of life into. There were other flesh here. Tubal-Cain took his clan to the highest mountain and survived. Seed of the serpent survived. How else were there giants in the land after that? Your pastor never could fully explain that. He had some plausible explanation about the wives of Noah's sons had some of the seed in them, and lo and behold, a full-grown giant got born one day. No, it's not how the mixture works. You want to produce a 13, 14-foot tall man that can lift a ton with each arm, he's got to be pure. They survived. They're here. Takeaway today. Obedience is better than sacrifice. There's one sin in this Bible. Disobedience to God. Call it whatever you want. Murder, theft, whatever you want to call it. It's disobedience to God. Follow God with all your heart. And your heart, the spirit man within the heart, will gain control of the mind of this flesh. And you will strive toward God. You will not be perfect. But you got to keep everything in moderation. And keep the spirit man at the helm. There'll be daily struggles. There'll be daily arguments within the mind. Because the mind is contrary to the will of God. The mind wants the flesh to enjoy all the carnal excesses that it can have. Tell me you don't enjoy things that feel good. And God never said you couldn't. He just says keep it in retrospect. Keep it in moderation so that the spirit man can stay at the helm. Because once he falls to the co-pilot seat, the mind will take you places in this flesh that you don't want to go. Been good to be here with you today on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with Jonathan and David on WVFF 97.7. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.